Thank you. Welcome, everyone, to the Conference Committee on House File 2285 and Senate File 6, the Constitutional Amendment on Dedicated Funding. I want to thank Co-Chair Pogemiller as well for being here. Members, before we get started, probably what I like to do is go around the table for the members and staff at the front table to introduce themselves, as there's some new faces around the table and some more seasoned faces around the table. Maybe just your name, where you're from, and if you want to admit or tell us who your senator or representatives are at the same time, just so folks can gain that perspective. Representative Wolschlager, down at the end there, would you like to start?
All right. I'm Representative Wolschlager. Senator Steve Murphy is my senator, and we're down in the Cannon Falls, Red Wing, Lake City, Wabasha area.
And I'm Representative Diane Loeffler, honored to represent the 13 neighborhoods of Northeast Minneapolis with Senator Pogba.
Frank Moe, Bemidji, but also hosted the fishing opener last weekend. Senator Mary Olson is my new senator. So.
Was it in Walker Bay? Where did the governor fish?
He fished, I guess, where else did he fish? Stony Point, I know, on okay. Saturday.
Dennis Osmond, Rosemont, Apple Valley. My senator is Chris Gerlach.
Jean Wagenius, South Central Minneapolis. Richard is my senator.
John Helig, House Research Department. I'm a local.
Tony Surich from Chisholm, and my senator is Senator Dave Tomasoni.
Larry Pogemiller from Minneapolis, Representative Loeffler and Representative Kahn.
Greg Knapp, Senate Council Research and Fiscal Analysis, and my senator, Senator Cohen.
Oh.
half the staff.
I'm Denny Fredrickson, State Senator from Lowell. My state representatives are Seifert and Finstead, but when I'm down here in my apartment in West St. Paul, my state rep is Rick Hansen, and I keep lobbying for more running trails.
Cohen from St. Paul with Michael Paymar and Aaron Murphy.
Helen Anderson, St. Paul. My district includes Como Park and also City of Falcon Heights. My House members are John Lesh and Alice Houseman.
Satvir Chaudhry, on the A side is Carolyn Lane, B side Kate Knuth.
Tom Saxog, I represent Senate District 3, which starts up in the northwest angle and goes through International Falls, Grand Rapids, and the north half of Mille Lacs Lake. And my representatives are Lauren Solberg and Tom Anzels.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and welcome to the committee. Welcome also to staff on both sides and, most importantly, the public, who seems to have a pretty full house here today. Members, we are short on time, and we want to get this to the floor for a vote later today. And I think what would be best, and I briefly talked to Senator Pogemiller about this, is to primarily focus on probably the first two sections of the bill and look at them. And maybe right now we can have our staff do a brief walkthrough through the first two sections of the bill, and then we can do some discussion on that.
Mr. Chair and members, we'll deal with the constitutional amendment that would be placed in the Constitution if the voters would approve it, if this passes, and then the question on the submission to the voters. The House, in their language, creates six funds, actually creates five funds, but divides the money six different ways. And if you want to look at this sheet that Dan Mueller, the Senate fiscal analyst, prepared, it just shows the breakdown. 25% Natural Heritage Fund, 25% Clean Water Fund, 15% Parks and Trails Fund, 15% Sustainable Drinking Water Fund, 10% Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, and then another 10% that would be allocated by law in future sessions depending on the needs for the above five funds. That money would have to be spent in one or if not more of the above five funds. And then in the Senate version, they split their money three different ways, as you can see. They have 33% for a Heritage Enhancement Fund, 43% for Great Outdoors Minnesota Fund, 24% for a Cultural Legacy Fund. And their cultural legacy fund splits it out between 43% to the Minnesota Board of the Arts, 57% to Access for Arts Education. The Senate also mentions natural areas and forest resources in the constitutional amendment language, as you can see in their bill on 1.22, and 1.25 is the natural areas. The House, in their constitutional amendment, mentions protecting drinking water because they create a sustainable drinking water fund. So the Senate also has a sentence at the end of their constitutional amendment provision that says if the sales tax is ever broadened, existing sales tax for this purpose, the 0.375%, can be adjusted to provide the same amount of revenue, but it wouldn't pick up new revenue if the sales tax was broadened to other things like clothing or something else. And
Okay, I'm sorry.
On that point, I just wanted to point out to members that it goes both ways. It also, if the sales tax base were to shrink, the legislature could increase the percentage to allow for to keep the same level of revenue. So it is for both ways on the revenue. I just want to make sure that it wasn't just if it was broadened.
Okay, thank you for the clarification.
And then on the question, Section 2 in the House bill and Section 3 in the Senate bill, they're pretty much the same, basically, except the House mentions on 2.15 to protect our state's drinking water sources, and the Senate mentions on 2.18 the preservation and enhancement of natural land and forest resources, which the House does not mention in their Natural Heritage Fund. And that's basically it between the first two sections of the bill.
Thank you very much. Let's have some discussion on these first few sections. Senator Pogomiller.
Mr. Chairman, if it makes sense, I would pass out an A2 amendment that combines the question between the House and the Senate as perhaps something that people might be willing to work off of. Okay. So it just might. So I'll just pass out A2 and allow you at any point to say, let's look at A2 or not look at A2.
Okay.
Well, as that's just the question.
Great. Well, as that's being passed out, any discussion on the first three sections of the bills by members?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pogomiller.
Chairman, we are obviously interested in the drinking water type language that you're interested in. We hope that you will consider the forest language. And I must say, the natural area language, Senator Frederickson, do you remember why we added natural area? Senator Chaudhry?
Senator Chaudhry.
Mr. Chair, vaguely, it would seem to distinguish parcels of land that are scientific natural areas. It would those types of areas, and we've linked that to parks and trails. So that's I believe that's what that's referring to.
Okay. Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, I think what we're thinking of are scientific and natural areas and also native prairie.
Okay. Representative Moe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Moe, can you move your microphone over a little bit?
Thank you.
Thank you.
To any of the senators, the Great Outdoors Minnesota Fund has parks and trails in it, which is a priority from the House position. Your position separate or at least give some parameters as to how much that might be as opposed to, I mean, could it be 1%, 10%, 15%, or is it open to?
Okay. Senator Pogomiller.
It does not, and we want you to know up front that we are certainly willing to separate parks from water, if that's what makes sense.
Okay. Thanks. Senator Chaudhry.
Mr. Chair, on the A2 amendment, it seems like the ballot language should cover the values that we want to express in the Constitution. But at the same time, we want to make sure that voters find the ballot language understandable and not complex, simple. So is there some duplication here that could be removed? Frankly, I kind of like your what we say in the title. Clean water, wildlife, arts, and natural areas. Boom. Seems pretty clean.
Thank you.
Maybe we can adjust here and there, but I mean, I'm just asking about simplicity. We mentioned water quality, groundwater, sources of drinking water. Can we just say clean water or water quality? Preserve, enhance fish, wildlife, habitat, natural land, and forest resources. I do support having forest in there, but maybe natural land is duplicative. And then the last, protect and restore lakes, rivers, streams, and wetlands. That doesn't seem to be referring to any of the three or four legs that are legs or the funds that are created. The first one is the water fund. Second is heritage fund. Third is parks, and the fourth is arts. And then there's this additional language that kind of goes into more detail about restoring lakes, rivers, streams, and wetlands. Do we need that sentence in there?
Representative Wagenius.
I think wanting to let voters know that these belong to us is the reason that the House put in the word our. That isn't in your amendment. And we did it because sometimes people can feel that these are somebody else's. But rather than have them feel that they're somebody else's, that it's our water that we're protecting. It's our habitat we're protecting. It's our parks. It's our rivers. So as we go back into it, I would hope that the Senate would think about using
that. Senator Anderson?
Oh, well, Mr. Chair, I was going to say something fairly similar. I guess, not about the hour, although I like that idea. I think that gives people sort of ownership, as you said. I think it's important to mention lakes, rivers, streams, and wetlands because those are the surface waters that are, you know, that's what our clean water legacy is all about, is restoring those types of water. So I wouldn't want to eliminate those from the language.
Okay. Senator Pearsall.
Mr. Chairman, it seems to me that on 1.10, it would be natural to say enhance fish and wildlife habitat and delete the comma between fish and wildlife.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I think that the question on the ballot is probably the most important thing we can do. I know 5 years ago when I worked on the Dakota County farmland referendum, the words that we used, every word we thought through to make sure that it was clear and that the voters would understand it. And I think the amendment provides a few more words that help us out. I would ask, you know, and I'm not sure of the process here, but I would ask folks to go back and look at the House language because we have some action words in there, and we have, I think we have some clear, concise words that we can take some of the adjectives and nouns out of the Senate amendment and plug into that and maybe keep it short, simple, and achieve what we want to. Because I think having forestry in is important. But like what Senator Pariseau had said, I think we have some of that language in the House version. And maybe the process here is we could look at what words are in the amendment that we can plug in to make it a compromise combination piece.
Representative Wagenius.
Thank you. I'm sitting here kind of noodling the word natural lands and thinking that you had to explain that to me. And when you explained it to me, I actually like the explanation that Senator Frederickson gave a little better. And that's because I think people would understand again, and we're aiming for clarity here, when we're talking about the habitat issue, prairies is a good word. It's a very Minnesota word because of Garrison Keillor. Thank you, Garrison. And I don't know who reminded me of that. I think it was Representative Hansen. But the other thing in the habitat area, I do think we should put the word wetlands right in with the habitat, because our duck hunters know that wetlands are part of the habitat and that we really do need to push on that area. So I would suggest we would do something more like saying, preserve wetlands, prairies, forests, and maybe natural fish or wildlife habitats, and do it that way.
Which is natural areas. Mr.
Chairman. Yeah, Senator Fogelmiller.
I used to serve on the committee. I don't anymore. And I just remember that the word wetlands for many years created a lot of activity. And so I'm not sure that word is good. But I know it created a lot of tension in the committee.
Representative Beginnius.
Either way. In this day and age, I mean, and I think things have changed about that. I think I hear where you're coming from. But people now want to live next to a wetland. 15 years ago, you would not have built multi-million-dollar houses next to wetlands. Today, that's exactly what you're looking for. So I think the word has an appeal to folks in general. I am more specifically thinking about folks who go hunting and fishing. They know that wetlands are critical.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chair, on a different issue. Well, by the way, the wetlands is in the Senate language, correct?
It's just the placement issue.
Okay, the placement. I just want to comment on the verbs, since we are wordsmithing and that's what we need to do on this. There's four different verbs: preserve, protect, restore, and enhance. And some of them are in some phrases and some are in others, and the House and Senate are equally inconsistent. I'm not sure what enhance means, but I know what preserve, protect, and restore means, and I guess I would err on the side of having more words that give our meeting clarity than fewer words. So I guess I'd like to see that sort of progression, preserve, protect, and restore on all of these.
Okay. Any further discussion on just conversation around the ballot language at this time? Senator Chaudhry.
Mr. Chair, I had a question in the House language. What does other natural resources mean?
Senator, if you could point to the line on that.
Page 2, line 15 and 16 of the House bill.
Representative Wagenius.
The House had many hearings on things like wild rice, keeping that genetically intact for future generations. So we have natural resources, the genetics in Minnesota, it's the wildlife in Minnesota. I think if we were to go to the language that which we were talking about, or other natural fish or wildlife habitats, that's probably inclusive, and we wouldn't have to do natural resources.
Right.
But we have to do something that's inclusive of some of those things. I mean, we want to keep our butterflies and our pollinators and all those kinds of things that make these lands viable lands for hunting and fishing.
Yeah. And that's, Mr. Chair,
Senator
that was
Chaudhry.
My question doesn't, with respect to an example like wild rice, in this context, it is a habitat and would be inclusive. So whatever we do, we just need to make sure that it would be inclusive of that.
Any other discussion on the ballot language? Members, I think it would be good for our staff to kind of maybe compile and look at some of the suggestions that were given over the last few minutes here of discussion. And I want to thank Senator Pogemiller for this. Is, I think, a good starting off point to this, and maybe look at potentially incorporating some of the ideas and suggestions into an amendment to bring before us a little later today, and certainly have conferees offer their input, additional input, to our staff to look at that. Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick comment, because I know time is very limited today, but the conservation folks had done some polling through, I believe, the Maslin firm earlier. We've all seen that. I would defer to some of that in terms of trying to figure out, as opposed to all of our ideas, as to figure out what's going to work or not work on the ballot, and hope they'll have some input into that as well.
Senator Cohen, that's a great idea. All right. Well, why don't we then move back a page to Section 1 of the House and Section 2 of the Senate language on the actual words that will be in the Constitution, and have some discussion around that, which I think will deal a lot with the percentages and that discussion. Senator Chaudhry.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Now, this is the place where I think it's appropriate to have a little bit more detail when we want to express our values. You know, words such as drinking water sources, lakes, rivers, streams, wetlands, groundwater, restore, preserve, enhance, protect, things like that. I think that's a good place, at least a better place, because then when we read our Constitution in the future, we get a better picture of what we meant.
Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, one difference between the House and the Senate is the Lessard Heritage Enhancements Fund has 33%, or in other words, 1/8 of a sales tax. And in all of our Senate discussions about this, that was the one piece that we thought we should really be firm on, is that 1/8, because it's been the hunters and the anglers with their duck rallies and talking about habitat that really has kept this moving, even though there are other very essential parts. Clean water and the cultural heritage parks are very important also, but that has been kind of the linchpin of what this constitutional amendment has been all about. So in the Senate, we have talked about making sure that that is 1/8 of a of the, or 33% of the 3/8 sales tax. You know, that's kind of where we started in the Senate.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pogemiller.
Also, I think the Senate would be very quick, since we know the clean water folks would like, people who are interested in the clean water part, would like to separate parks. Let me suggest that we make it arts and parks. Put that in the third leg of the stool. I might mention to folks that I think the Senate feels pretty significantly strong that it should be three legs to the stool. We can accommodate the items the House is interested within those three legs if we think about that for a second. And so we think the framework of roughly 33, 43, 33 with arts and parks together gets you pretty close if you start to think about how can you accommodate water in a broader sense.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I wanted to give an idea a little bit about the 10% amount, because there's been quite a bit of discussion about that. And I tend to think of that as an emergency fund almost, that when you look at the outdoors and the environment, we have so much potential to where we might have to respond to an emerging invasive species threat, perhaps emerald ash borer, or what if VHS virus comes, or avian influenza, and that those are natural resources issues that have a great impact on our economy, could have a great impact on our economy or our environment. And when we've talked about flexibility with that fund, that gives us the flexibility to respond where we may need to respond with significant dollars.
And so I just wanted to kind of talk about that 10% there as I view it as kind of an emergency response fund almost, rather than a general fund or, you know, dividing up the pie a little more. So I think it's important to have something there that if there is a crisis with our environment that we can respond.
Representative Guineas.
Well, thank you. That is one potential for the fund, but the second potential is sometimes when things get going in the other funds, the monies are on track to do really good things that need to be done. But there, big things come along, too. Big opportunities come along, not just crisis, but opportunities. And we want to be able, I think, to have the flexibility in year three to put a ton of extra money into waters, but in year five, a ton of extra money in arts. And in year seven, a ton of extra money into buying some land that has become available. This allows that kind of flexibility. And I would just remind folks that in the gas tax, nobody ever talks about it, there is a flexible 5% in our gas tax. And someone a long time ago had some real insight that you could not think 25 years ahead. It's just an impossibility. So thinking ahead, that 10% was very important to the House for things that we cannot right now think about or even imagine.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've looked at the House's language on this. I don't believe you do anything to make that fund more quickly available or more, you know, more of a quick response pot of money. As far as I know, it's just the same thing that the legislature would have to appropriate it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure why we couldn't just do that using the existing breakdown of dollars.
Representative Mull.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, in defense, briefly in defense of the 10% being a little parochial, we have a great opportunity to acquire some private forest lands this year, and that would be an ideal opportunity to be able to use that. Perhaps if there was a habitat opportunity in southwestern Minnesota, large farmstead or something like that. But I also would like to ask a question. Maybe Senator Pogamiller or somebody talked about a third, something like that, 33% in arts and parks, and that sounds intriguing. Would you envision that then in statute a 50-50 split between that, or
Senator Pogamiller?
Probably not. A little heavier on the
parks
and arts.
Okay. Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman.
Maybe a lot heavier on the culture and arts.
Okay. Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick question, not so much to Representative Hansen, but to Representative Wagenius and Representative Moe. Isn't that what a bonding bill encompasses? It's a question of other opportunities. You end up doing many of those appropriations to a bonding bill, I would guess.
Representative Wagenius.
Yes, and in the past, we have been competing with University of Minnesota and with the state universities, and we all understand it big time that they have huge needs to keep our economy on the right track. So we haven't done well, in particularly well, historically. And so setting aside this money for those kinds of things. Now, and I have to say on the other thing is one of the things, if you're looking at the three-legged stool and doing a 33-33-33, you are asking the House to back off substantially from protecting our waters, because the House actually has 40% in the waters category when you add the two together. So, again, I think having the 10%, which might be available for one thing that's more important in one year and one thing that's more important in another year, because each of these categories will get on a track of regular kind of spending, and that's just the way things happen around here, and doing big things is difficult.
Senator Saxon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I think that the House has something here with this 10% emergency fund, but may I suggest that since we are going to have three or four funds, that each one of those funds set up their own contingency or reserve fund. So they set that aside, and when emergencies come up at different times, then they could use that fund for that.
Senator Pariseau.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to ask the question of you because you're the House author. I'm looking through the House bill, and I can't tell that you have determined to have councils or committees of authority dispensing the funds. What is the model for dispensing them?
The model in the House bill is for the legislature to
straight appropriations.
To do the straight appropriations, yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Representative Moe.
To that point, Senator Pariseau, we also have language in Section 1 to make sure that matching grants are available in the House bill, line 2.7 and 2.8. The dedicated money under this section may be used to provide matching grants. So to be very clear, that that's a possibility.
Mr. Chairman, I just pointed to Senator Pogemiller that even without that language, and you could still make matching grants. I mean, the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund doesn't have that language, and matching grants are made all the time out of that fund. So it, you don't need to say that. You can, but whether it's included or not, it can be done.
Okay. Representative Hansen.
When we were looking at the ballot language, there was a word that was added in there about history. And, you know, just looking through both versions here, we talk about culture, arts education, historic sites. But I think one of the selling points, you know, on the ballot on this is that we'll be in 2008 on the ballot, our sesquicentennial. And I think that Minnesotans are willing to invest in whether it be the Sibley House in my district or across the river at Fort Snelling, or, you know, people want to protect their history as part of their cultural heritage. And as the discussion goes on about the arts, I think it's important that our cultural discussion involves history and that we maybe make sure we don't lose that in the discussions.
Senator Schauder.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. A couple of points. First, back to the constitutional amendment and the matching grants issue. I think council is right that you can make those matching grants without that language. However, the Senate bill has a provision for local matching grants to conservation clubs that can be used out of the Heritage Enhancement Fund, the Habitat dollars. I'm a big advocate for that provision. And we would need this matching grant language, I think, maybe not, but I think, to link up with that provision. That's been a, even in the last few months since we've had it in the bill, it's been a huge, huge attractant, particularly to sportsmen across the state and the banquets that I've spoken to and the sportsmen that I've spoken to that we, who will realize in real dollars on the ground to their actual organization a certain amount of the dedicated funding dollars. It says up to $20,000. I think actually a little bit higher than that would be good. And we carved that out of a $5 million within the Heritage Enhancement. So the sportsmen would be paying for it, but it's the reaction that I get from, you know, your everyday sportsman back in the district that hears that if their club raises $20,000 at a banquet for improving habitat projects, they will get an additional, they're eligible for an additional $20,000 is really a real booster. It's like a turbocharger for the whole idea. So I'd be a big advocate for that.
And Senator, we saw that language in committee and on the House floor. There were some concerns raised about, as you stated, to the $20,000 figures that large enough, or, or how that would look. What if there was unspent money? What would happen to the $5 million at that time? Also, just to throw out there, I like incentivizing. I mean, I think that's a great idea. I think that's going to help in activating the coalition to get this ballot initiative passed, but then also beyond that, my question then to kind of throw it on the table is that a good idea then to potentially do in other areas of the bill to incentivize a dollar-for-dollar match or in different parts of the bill as well?
Well, I mean,
Senator Chaudhry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There have been other stronger advocates than myself, although I'm a very strong one for clean water and parks. And maybe I certainly defer to them on whether they think a matching grant program would be desirable. I wouldn't have a problem with that, particularly if it was, you know, if it was adequate enough to reach down to that grassroots level. So, no, I mean, that's certainly something to think about. And I think the Senate's arts portion is primarily a grants process. So we're looking to do that, I think, almost entirely in a grant process. So one other point I wanted to make, Mr. Chair, the governance was mentioned. I feel that it's probably just as important as we put the ballot, put the language on the ballot, that there be a degree of expectation of how the money is going to be spent. Various proposals have been proposed, you know, some citizens only, some legislative only, LCMR, LCMR model modified. But whatever we do, I think they're, particularly with the Heritage Enhancement Fund, the sportsmen have been working on this for so long that, and there's been a lot of ownership in this, that I think there should be ownership amongst the sportsmen for the money. Now, maybe it's not entirely citizens. Maybe it's not entirely appointed by the governor. Our proposal has a citizen majority council, and that's the only difference between the LCCMR. So our proposal sets up a LCCMR governance that has been pretty successful, mix of legislators and citizens. Only in this situation, the citizens would have a majority. Having said that, it would take a supermajority of citizens and legislators to pass a bill or pass a proposal from that council. The citizens would have the type of ownership that they've been advocating for and have never had.
Okay. Rep. Sam Wolschlager.
For any of the three of them.
Chair, members, I've been influenced by the senators talking about this emergency fund. And I think about the fact that June 1st, I'm going back to my other job, which is at 3M. And in research and development, we have 15% of our time to use as we wish. And more lately, our technical directors have been offering us $1,500 per person to use as the way we choose. Well, if you know much about manufacturing, you can't get anything done on $1,500. So you have to pool with other members of your team or your lab. And so I do like the concept that's being forwarded here about the three components and having, you know, some percent unallocated in each of those three. And certainly over time, over 25 years, those groups could work with one another. It doesn't have to be so straightforward, because often innovation occurs when, you know, people can come together. So I do like that concept, and I hope we can talk some more about that. You know, the other thing, we've just come off of 5 hours of debate on the House floor, and it turns out that sport lovers and artists are getting pitted against each other, and we've tried so hard not to do that. So that's the other thing. I want to try really hard not to pit us against one another, because it's about economic activity
and the value to our area. I mean, I represent Red Wing and Lake City and Wabasha, and we love Lake Pepin, but we also love our Red Wing Arts Festival and our Sheldon Theater, too. So, you know, let's try hard not to, you know, push that point of pitting each other against one another.
Other discussion on this area? Senator Chaudhry.
Just in response to that, Mr. Chair, just by way of a background, our conversations in the Senate regarding the arts and the outdoors have started to progress to how they can, not how they pit against each other, but how they might be able to complement one another. And how, for example, education access dollars or arts access dollars can use to actually promote outdoor culture. The NPR story on the history of hunting, or the public television series on the condition of our state's water. My wife even asked me last night if our early childhood class did a project on outdoors education for the pre-K kids. Would they be eligible for education access dollars? So I don't know if the language exactly reflects our that discussion, but that discussion has been going on, and it's something that I would support to at least a degree meld the two.
Your conferees did not fold without when you were out of the room there.
We're still doing this. I'm curious what we're melding.
we're pretty much finished at this point.
Mr. Chair, that happened to me on a stadium bill. Yeah. That happened to me on a stadium bill once in this very room. I left the room to finish another conference committee, and Senator Bill Luther closed the bill.
And that's why the target center is still in trouble.
Well, you'll note that Senator Bill Luther is no longer in elective office.
Mr. Chair, Senator Pogermiller.
Senator Chaudhry.
Whether melding is the right word or not, we were just discussing the idea of how the arts and the outdoors we can drop the idea of hitting them against one another and start talking about how they can complement one another.
Isn't that, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Pogermiller.
Isn't that what the potential of the House is unallocated by law piece might be? It gives you potential to think across lines of the funds.
Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think while there are natural ways to meld, there also are... While there are natural ways to meld, I think the beauty of nature and the beauty of the arts and how we experience it, at the same time, I think the arts and cultural resources of our state also bring another group of voters to the ballot, to seeing a value of the investment in this, who may not be as oriented towards that particular natural art as they are some other forms, whether it's musical entertainment or other things that they don't see quite the direct connection. And I think we need to think about how are we going to build the coalition that will bring this forward to be successful. And I think we want to keep it broad to bring that broad range of voters to vote yes when we get to the ballot box on this one. So I would encourage us to continue to think broadly, to build that broad net of voters who have a broad range of interests in all the things that make Minnesota wonderful in a variety of different ways. And so I would hope that we wouldn't narrow it too much, because I think that may make some people feel excluded.
Any other discussion on this area? Senator Frederickson. Well,
Mr. Chairman, I want to talk a little bit more about the Heritage Enhancement Council. I think in previous years and in all of the previous attempts to do this, we've had a Heritage Enhancements Council or something very similar to it. And I think it's important for this section of the bill to work the way we expect it to work. I think it's a way to make certain that we get maximum benefit from the dollars we're going to spend. And I think it brings in all of the angling and sporting groups with which we're familiar, conservation groups. And I would hope that when we make a decision on a conference committee report, that it would include some form of heritage enhancement council, just so that the people that feel very passionate about this know that they're going to have significant input into how these monies are spent, and that they will bring their resources to enhance the public dollars and make this program really work. And I too think it'll bring additional support from citizens for the constitutional amendment to know that this is in there. And I would point to other constitutional amendments that we've passed where we have as much as we could put in place the statutory language, and I think we see it in this bill that it goes into effect the effective date essentially is when the constitutional amendment is adopted. That will, so people know when they vote what to expect to happen.
Senator Pariseau.
Sorry, I have so many questions, but I'm looking at page 5, and the second line on page 5 is about reimbursement for legislative members, but the second line is the removal, and it doesn't say the removal of what. I'm not sure if that's the reimbursement or per diem expenses or what the meaning of the removal is.
Senate language.
I'm sorry. Yes.
I'm sorry.
Page 5, the second line.
Mr. Chair, Senator Pariseau,
yes.
That's the Senate language, and it deals with it's talking about public members. Basically, it says in 5.2 of the Senate language, it's on R5 of the comparison, the removal and beginning July 1, 2009, the compensation of public members. And the reason that the July 1, 2009 is in there is because there wouldn't be money available for this group until that date. This was worked out a number of years ago in a state and the Senate State and Local Government Committee that to put that date in there. It would probably read a little bit clearer without that date, but it was necessary to have the date included. It's basically the removal and compensation of the members is as provided in that section.
Well,
Senator Pariseau.
The removal, I'm trying to figure out what the removal was.
Well, but Mr. Chairman, Senator Pariseau, it's public members.
Removal of public members?
Yes.
Yeah, it is kind of an awkwardly worded sentence if you just read the removal and the compensation of public members. It reads a little more smooth, right. But
removal of and begins.
And Mr. Chairman, that's why the comments to separate that out. It's because of the July 1 date. This on the Senate side, Mr. Chairman, this takes effect on November 15th, so it allows this group to get together. They don't, basically don't receive any compensation, at least the public members, during that period, but they could start working on a plan for this money prior to July 1.
Representative Hansen.
I remember last year during the Clean Water Legacy debate, there was a lot of time spent on the council rather than the dollars or the intent. And I think I know we're supposed to go back into session at 1:30, that maybe we refocus or, you know, before we meet again, go back on that ballot language and the constitutional language as something we need to wrap up.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pocamiller.
Chairman, having Xeroxed off this would not be my normal style of conferring, but we don't have a week. And it would be wonderful to have a week here, because I think we'd have a really incredible discussion about this very important topic. So in listening to the discussion, I was just going to put forward a possibility for people to think about during the break. I just want to emphasize to the House that the Senate author feels extremely, extremely strongly about the arts education part. I do not think it's an add-on. We want to accommodate what you want on parks and water. But the way to this, I just want to emphasize, the way to this is not by rating arts. So I don't mean that as a challenge. I just mean that as one of the reasons I'm in this right now is because of this arts education thing, to be perfectly blunt. And the other part is I think Senate members feel really strongly about the 1-8-33 for the heritage. And we want to work with you in however we can to accomplish those two objectives for us and allow you to accomplish what you want on drinking water and everything else. And if I could just pass this out, Mr. Chairman.
Certainly, Senator Pugmiller.
And this is just a rough cut as we are sitting here. So this is not a pre-designed thing, and I have not talked to the Senate conferees, so they may tell me, what are you doing? But what this does is it keeps the one-third for the heritage enhancement and has a up-to set-aside for wetland preservation of 10%, up-to set-aside forest legacy of 10%, for a total of a potential up-to set-aside of 20%. The flexible fund at 4%, clean water and drinking water at 32%, and arts and parks at 31%, with a carve-out on arts and parks of up to 8% for parks, up to 43% for state arts board.
And then Senator Pogemiller, also arts, education, and access, that's an up to as well for the 57%?
Presumably, yes. Okay. Yes. Thank you. Yeah, all carve-outs would be up to carve-outs, I guess.
Thank you. Representative Bouguinius.
Yes. I'm just trying to understand your thinking here, Senator. When you have...
Senator Pogemiller.
The percents on the arts and outdoor carves would be... should those percents be? We'd have to lower the 43 and 57, obviously.
Okay.
Because 8%, it just adds up to too many.
which would be helpful right now in our other negotiations.
So just take that. What I was thinking was the 8% for the parks, and the other two then would have to be proportionally adjusted. So okay. Pardon me, Representative.
Okay. Representative McGinnis.
Well, we have, as we were thinking about the major ecosystems in Minnesota and the ones that we need for hunting and fishing and for biofuels, you are setting aside something for two, but not the third. And the third would be our prairie ecosystems.
39 and 53.
And it is... That is the most interesting thing to me about that is we have millions of acres of forest. We still have part of our wetlands. We only have tens of thousands of acres of prairie left.
So, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pogemiller.
Do you understand what I said?
I was back and forth a little. Just summarize it. You would like a carve-out somewhere for...
No, I'm just wondering why you didn't carve out for prairies. It's one of our three major ecosystems, and that's what we have the least of, by a long shot.
Which fund would you carve from on that?
It's on the Heritage Fund, where you have forest, and you're carving it out, and you're carving it out for wetland preservation. But the... huge other ecosystem that we have is prairies, and we have the least amount of it.
Okay, Senator Saxog, then Senator Chaudhry.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this is a good shot, Senator Pogemiller, but I think if you take out wetland preservation and forest legacy, where are we going to put the rest of the money? And I guess I would agree with Representative Wagenius that... I don't think you necessarily have to carve out anything. I mean, I'm the forest, probably the biggest forest advocate, and I'm perfectly comfortable with the fact that heritage enhancement is going to take care of forest as well as wetlands and prairies. So.
That's right. Senator Chaudhry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think what Senator Pogemiller is getting at is not necessarily carving out ecosystems, although it kind of looks like you've got the forest, the wetland, and then where's the prairie. But I think the what I'm gathering is the main point of this is to make sure that there is that the water is compensated. So with the reduction in percentage under the actual Clean Water Fund, that there is yet another place where we know water money is going to be spent on water. I think that's what he might be getting at. Because habitat is water as much as
It is land.
Okay. Representative Moe, then Wiginius.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just looking at the thank you, Senator Pogamiller, for kind of moving us along, I think, maybe. For my information, and maybe staff could help me out with this, we're looking at Arts Board and Arts Education and Access. However, we readjust those numbers to account
it's
for
it. It's 39 and 53, apparently.
Okay.
43 goes to 39, 57 goes to 53.
And that might be somewhere around $60 million annually. How much of an increase would that be for those items over current expenditures? Would that be percent, maybe, and in dollars? Does anybody know that?
Senator Pogamiller.
I don't know. I'm sure we could find that out. But I don't think we should think of it in that way. We're talking about legacy items here. And we should be thinking about ramping this thing up. This is not a finance bill to double the budget. This is about doing something really significant in these areas.
Representative Wiginius.
I think Senator Saxhog said it very nicely. I think if we just use the words in the Heritage Fund of wetlands, forests, and prairies, we have included our three systems, and we don't want to put a ceiling on either on those three systems, because those are our big habitats. I mean, the other habitats are very small comparison.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Pogamiller.
If people are comfortable with that, I'm thrilled. I just always felt that people never realized that the Heritage Fund also included water, and so we were pushing to get people to think of it in those terms. Okay. Because it obviously does.
Yes, yes, that makes sense.
Yeah. Senator Pogamiller, on the House side, we're very familiar with wetland preservation. Forest Legacy has had extensive hearings this year as well, and then the clean water, sustainable drinking water as well, Parks, Trails, State Arts Board. The Arts Education and Access piece is distinctly Senate piece. Would you care to explain a bit of that to the House conferees?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would notice that the reason for it is because we're having a hard time spelling education in the Senate.
but we do know how to spell arts.
Well, we do know how to spell arts.
As a ranger, I can do those single syllable words a little better, too. Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. Chairman, members, as members know, I chaired the Education Committee for many years. And one of the things that is very apparent in the education area is that how it becomes narrower and narrower in scope as you talk about funding. And I think what we know about the great cultures in the history of the world, Chinese, 300-year runs, the Greeks, the Egyptians, what we remember about those people is their culture and their arts. And it seems to me that's the kind of thing we ought to be thinking about here. What is it that we are creating and leaving for posterity? And the reason arts education is important is it seems to me we ought to take a position in Minnesota where every single one of our children is at a very, very high level of experiential learning, expression, because what we know from research is that to educate a whole person, you fundamentally have to include the creative aspects of their being. And because of the extraordinary resources we have in Minnesota, the Walker, the Guthrie, the Institute, Ordway, where we've just put $400 million of private investment. It seems to me this is an opportunity at this moment in time in Minnesota to take advantage of that private investment with some public investment, and it will pay incredible dividends in terms of the type of citizens we raise in Minnesota, a more cultured, refined, and globally thinking person. And I do think that's what our goal should be here.
Representative Osmond.
Mr. Chairman,
I have a question, Senator, with regard to why you split out between the State Arts Board and the Arts Education and Access rather than just letting it be underneath the same heading.
Senator Bogomil?
Because Senator Cohen would kill me?
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Senator Cohen, so only name? Or
I would just say that is a carryover from previous discussions, and I've hit enough third rails during this discussion that I didn't know if that was one I wanted to hit, too. But if you were to ask me from a perfect clean slate, would I say that you don't need to make that separation? I would say yes. But I certainly don't want to touch another third rail. I've hit enough of them.
Representative Osmond.
And just to get some feedback from my perspective, it just I like this concept to me. If we were, 30, 30, or 30 and give 10% on the flexible, that starts to hit a real positive note. To me, the trails portion is a little low, so we need to do something about that, the parks and trails piece. 7 million that's, or the 8%, that seems to me a lot of kilt from what we've talked about in the past. So that needs to be somehow bring those up, maybe instead of putting so much into the flexible, bring it down into the parks and trails or something. Something along that line. There is one other point that you made, Senator Pogomiller, that I thought that really does intrigue me, and that's when you said that it'd be nice if we had a lot of time to work on this stuff, but we don't. To me, it seems it'd be very wise for us to focus right, as Chair mentioned earlier, focus on the first two sections, and then have the conference committee continue into the interim
during the
and
summer.
Work on the rest of it. To me, that makes a lot of sense, and I really look forward to that.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Chauvin.
It is a good idea. First of all, I don't know how much better we get the longer we go. Oftentimes, we get worse the longer we go. Getting lost in the weeds and drawing out enough rope to hang ourselves and all the other metaphors. I continue to assert that, at least for the Heritage Fund, there has to be a strong expectation of how that money is going to be spent. And I think some discussion needs to be had about the clean water as well. But I think there's, when we put it on the ballot, we start, we pass this off whatever time today it's on, scheduled to be on the ballot as of Tuesday or Wednesday, we want people to hit the ground running and answer all the questions that inevitably come up with a ballot question and particularly a constitutional amendment. Where is this money going to go? That's an obvious question. And I think the Senate did have detailed discussions on a potential answer to that. Number one, it's a citizen/sportsman majority council. It's a structure that is proven with the LCMR. Most importantly, we know that there will be input from interested stakeholders on exactly how that money is going to be spent.
Senator Cohen.
And, Mr. Chairman, I would just echo what Senator Chaudhry just said and also reinforce Senator Frederickson and Senator Chaudhry relative to the Senate's strong position in terms of the existence of the council relative to the heritage piece of this. But I would also point out that I think, I don't know about members of this conference committee, but I think people are underestimating the kind of effort it's going to take, both within the legislature and some of the constituent groups involved are tremendously underestimating the kind of effort it's going to take to pass this off the ballot. I would expect significant opposition from couple of the industries within the state, and to not have everybody on board from day one will create some difficulties in terms of putting together a coalition to make this work come November of next year. This will not be easy. I'll remind members that when the legislature last year passed the MVEST language out of the session, proponents of that effort began work immediately after the session to put together the ballot initiative for a year and a half later.
Members, I believe the House is going to be be going back into session to pass the higher education bill. I don't know, Senator, maybe the Senate is going back in
again
soon here.
We are.
Members, I believe we've had a good discussion for the first part here. I think members can take some time to look at the two proposals. I want to thank Senator Pogemiller for putting them before us. If we come back, say, at 3:45, 2 hours from now, we can delve back into this. Thank you. We're in recess.
That we're going to finish it then?
I think
a midterm commitment.
Reconvene the conference committee. Members, we have some have an amendment here to discuss with proposed language for the ballot.
36.
Yep, it's the A36 language. Maybe we can get somebody else to pass around to the Senate side if you want to cut that in half. There we go. There's a few little additions, but yeah. Members, the A36 language uses some of the action words folks talked about and tried to synthesize some of the areas down to make this as short as possible, but also include all the key components. And we'll be open to discussion about this. Senator Cohn.
Mr. Chairman, somewhere there's an A8 amendment. I'm not sure where it might be.
I have it.
If Mr. Knopf could have that distributed. This is language that was brought to me by some of the constituent groups who were involved with the polling. And, Mr. Chairman, I have to ask bluntly, is there a reason we would substitute our unknowledgeable understanding of language versus where we have some direct input from somebody who polled on language? I'm just trying to compare language, but, you know, before we think we're so smart about this, you know, I think we ought to take a look at the language that comes directly from the polling that was done.
We can look at both, Senator. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Chaudhry.
While we're at it, could we look at the A7?
Absolutely. If the members are
people have been working.
All right. Well, let's take them one at a time to discuss them, and then we'll open it up to discussing the three at the same time. So I think we've all looked at A36 for a minute here. Let's look at A8. Senator Cohn, that's the one that you wanted to discuss, if you want to take a moment to walk us through it.
Mr. Chairman, would you mind if I called on somebody to walk us through it?
Well,
I mean, I didn't come up with this language myself. This is language, as I said, that was put together by the people in this room involved directly with the Maslin polling outfit, a national polling outfit that knows more about these matters than we do. That's why I submit this language. I just saw this for the first time a few minutes ago. I did not work on this.
All right. Well, why don't we just we can read through it as we're sitting here, and we'll hold that off for a second. Senator Chaudhry has the A7. Do you want to walk us through the A7, Senator?
Mr. Chair, maybe President someday, who knows? This basically distills what I think is everything we want to capture within this constitutional amendment. I tried to write it out so that it coincides with all three or four legs of the funding and was descriptive of what was in it. And then, and actually, I passed out this handwritten. It's kind of an addendum to the A7. It only, the only difference is it adds game and, well, first of all, it puts the date at the end, so it goes right into the preserve, protect, and enhance. And then it adds game, and it adds the word game, and it adds the word arts.
And I do say cultural legacy. I guess I'm not wedded to any particular term, but that's one that's been commonly used for what we're doing here. Now, I tend to agree with the idea that there are some action words that help with the polling. But in my mind, I distinguish what we have on, I distinguish what we submit to the voters as the question, and perhaps what we have in the actual constitutional provision. And I think both of these, this idea of simplicity versus specifying the things that attract people in polling, can be accommodated in both ways. If we have a simple question that encompasses, you know, the water, the habitat, the parks, the culture, and then if we can list out to our heart's content on the actual constitutional provision, drinking water, wetlands and prairies, forests, county parks, state regionals, lakes, rivers, streams, groundwater. And correct me if I'm wrong, isn't that going to be on the ballot as well? Won't that be on the, maybe Mr. Knopf?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Chaudhry, as I understand it, they'll have copies of it at the poll, but it won't be, the language of the constitutional amendment is not on the, what they'll see on the ballot is the title, and they'll see this language. Okay. But there will be copies of it at the polling place for people who want to look at the actual language of the Constitution.
Okay. All right. So I think there's an opportunity to combine simplicity with all of the different polling numbers that we've seen. And so what I do have here is simplify the question, and then I would advocate for the more specific things like drinking water, groundwater, listing out parks, prairies, forests in the actual constitutional provision. And actually, I think that'd be a good thing. I think that's a comprehensive statement of our values in this amendment. I think that'd be a very, very good thing. But I think one of the conversations I had with Representative Walschlager kind of summed up my feelings on it. And she was talking. I apologize if I'm speaking out of turn, but you were talking about your husband, who is a strong outdoorsman and a tradesman. And when it comes down to the ballot, after voting for president, United States Senate, Congress, state representatives, local offices, and I don't know if the question comes after or before the judges. It's a long list of people that the average voter has thought about, and to keep it as simple as possible, I think, is advantageous for the individuals who you describe, Representative Walschlager, as more willing to read, you know, no more than 30 words as opposed to 75 or such. So I thought that was instructive. So that's what the A7 is about.
Okay. Representative Wilgenius.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since we have three different things and I look at the hour and I am scared, I would like to move the A36 amendment as a way to get into our, more formally get into our discussion. It does do a couple of things that are different. It does move the date to the end. We had House Counsel look at this from a constitutional point of view. Could we put it on the ballot this way? And yes, we can. It looks so when somebody reads it, they start off rife with the strength of what is here, which is to provide funding to protect our sources of drinking water. And I think there has been a general agreement that that is leading with your, what, leading with your strength, or there's this phrase for that. And it, again, ends with waters to protect, enhance, and restore lakes, rivers, and streams and groundwaters, because we were also told by polling that that was a good idea. However, there were some things that polling didn't ask, and I think we have to use our good judgment as legislators who've been representatives for a long time. So I would have moved to A36.
Okay, Representative Guineas moves the A36 amendment. Senator Parasol.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would ask Senator Representative Guineas if the language of your amendment that you're offering, which seems to be pretty concise, is also a stab at ranking the importance by what comes first being more important than what trails at the end and everything in between.
Representative Guineas.
No, it is not a ranking of importance. It is, I think these are all four very important. I mean, these categories are important, some important to some individuals, some important to other individuals. I can't say that that's the case. I think we have been told, and it's reflected in polling, that drinking water, which we are all concerned with, and I think particularly concerned with, given some of the things that have happened recently, that polls extremely, extremely well. So we lead with our best foot. Or what is that, that phrase I'm looking for? But anyway, we lead with our strength. And folks sometimes look at the end of a question next, and the second strength in terms of what people are concerned about seems to be our lakes, rivers, streams, and groundwater. But does that make any difference in terms of how we allocate money? That's a wholly separate question that we will deal with when we do some spreadsheets.
Senator Parasol.
Mr. Chairman, I wonder why, is there any particular reason why the word game is not included in the phrase?
Yeah.
Fish and game?
Representative Moe.
Senator Pierce, actually, we discussed that, too, and I'd like to, at the appropriate time, move an oral amendment to this amendment.
Sure. Okay. I believe now would be an appropriate time.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to insert line 1.9 after fish, add a comma, and then add game.
Okay. Does our staff have the amendment?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Any discussion to the Moe oral amendment? Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, members, while I think wildlife covers game, there's two kinds of wildlife. There's game and there's non-game. When we say wildlife, it's inclusive of both of them. So I don't know why we would include game in this. It seems to me to be a
veggies will make it
redundant and extra word we don't need to have.
Okay. Representative Moe and then Osmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Frederickson is grammatically correct. However, up in my neck of the woods, where this is going to be difficult selling a sales tax increase for people, having game, something, fish and game, is a phrase that that they're comfortable with and know what that means, and we feel confident that that would actually help at the polls more than give it any substantive difference.
Representative Osmond.
Yes, and Mr. Chair and Senator Frederickson, I'd like to add, and in the metropolitan area, I think people identify with wildlife sometimes different than they do game. So to leave the word game in would leave some people out. Leave the word just wildlife in leaves others out. I think it's, it really does cover the gamut when you say game and wildlife. Even though we technically know the difference, this goes to the general public, and we need all their support.
Senator Cohn.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I know this language is important. I offered the A8 amendment, which I have not worked on. Let me ask Mr. Curry to speak to the amendment in contrast to Representative Wagenius's amendment, or at least to supplement that amendment, so we have at least some direct input from people who actually have dealt with the people, the national firm polling on this thing as to what works. So maybe we could ask, rather than all of us go back and forth, maybe we could ask Mr. Curry to address the A36 amendment in the context of his A8 language.
All right. Mr. Curry, if you join us at the table, and please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. John Curry, I'm with the Campaign for Conservation. I also do work with the coalition called Great Outdoors Minnesota, who's been working with you here at the Capitol on this and the ballot language in particular. To Senator Cohen's point, what we tried to do here is get the crispest language that reflects the values of the most Minnesotans that we could. There's just a number of points I want to identify, and it's not my place to kind of get bogged in the details. I think some of the things on both proposals are terrific, and I actually think they're incredibly close, as you probably recognize as well. First of all, I just wanted to go to the lines 116 to 118. Our pollster tells us, and by the way, let me just reflect, Will Abiger from the Trust for Public Land is the national campaign director who works on hundreds of these in local jurisdictions and states. And so, first of all, the title is incredibly important. If the title accurately reflects the compelling issues in the poll, some people will not even read the paragraph below it asking the question. They'll just really quickly look at what's suggested here is clean water, wildlife, cultural heritage, and natural areas. I also want to reflect that cultural heritage is a change from some previous language that was floated around here where it used to say arts, and that's an issue that's in play a little bit maybe for constituents around here. I've tried to speak to some people about it, and I'm not finding opposition to cultural heritage because, number one, it reflects the broader interest in the bill, and number two, it polls better in the public opinion polls that we've talked to. And then finally, the language was cleaned up just a little bit. Maybe lines 110 and 111 were the biggest changes, where we just clustered together the idea that we are doing this to support parks and trails, to preserve history, arts, and cultural heritage. So it's a flow that flows a little bit better. And with that, I think I can keep it brief. If there's questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Representative Wilgenius.
Yes, thank you. Did you poll the word game?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I do not recall polling the word game.
Thank you.
Representative Wolschlager.
Did you poll the word provide funding versus dedicate funding?
Mr. Curry.
Mr. Chair and Representative Wolschlager, there is a lot of words like that we looked at, whether you're providing more, and that seems to be a problem for people rather than maintaining existing. Specifically on dedicating, those words were used, and our polling shows that on a scale of about 2 to 1, it looks like the people of Minnesota will support this.
Senator Chaudhry.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Did you poll this entire question?
Senator Chaudhry.
Refer to the polling. Was it in a response to this question?
No, Senator Chaudhry, I wish we were that good to be able to get a poll out there like that. The polling I'm talking about reflects the original language in Senate File 6, and I don't recall what the House file was back then, but it wasn't Representative Sertich's original bill.
Senator Chaudhry?
Mr. Chair, so how did you come up with this then? Based on the polling, how does this reflect your polling if you didn't ask this question?
Well, Mr. Chair,
Mr. Curry.
Senator Chaudhry, this has been an evolution, and we've been looking at language that's been coming in from various sources. We've been looking at the language that's in the House and Senate bill, and we're trying to craft it. We're trying to use the same concepts and be reflective of the policies that you folks want to do, but get the language as good as we possibly can. My colleague Cordelia Pearson for Trust for Public Land has joined me.
Members of the Conference Committee, my name is Cordelia Pearson. I represent the Trust for Public Land, and some senators requested a technical assistance letter early in the session to evaluate what the public support was for various aspects of this. We tested we're proposing this particular language having tested the purposes. We first tested the particular language that was in Senator Pogemiller's Senate File 6, and then later in the poll questionnaire, we asked, and I believe Senator Anderson has this. I'm going to read you some specific ways the money would be used. Please tell me how important this would be, that the money would be used in each way. Extremely important, very important, et cetera. and that with the most intensity was having to do with drinking water, groundwater protection, followed by that wildlife, natural areas, followed by that parks and arts. While in certain parts of the state, certain words might have more resonance, as Representative Moe was saying, with respect to the overall population, the word game is not quite as intense support as the word wildlife or natural areas.
Okay. Representative Moe.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to refer back to the order of business before us.
Oral amendment to the A36 amendment, correct?
Go ahead, Rep. Semo.
And to that point, Mr. Chairman, I would like to, before I move that, I'd like to reference Senator Cohen's comments and the polling.
Mr. Chair, hang on. I had a question for Mr. Curry.
Okay.
Excuse me. I'll just stay here. Before he leaves.
Yeah. We'll keep him around then.
Okay. Thank you. I think that the amendment before us and Representative Wagenius has used some of the language suggestions by Senator Chaudhry and the polling language that you've, Senator Cohen, also referenced to come up with this. And as we can see, it's substantially not all that different, but with a couple of helpful suggestions, perhaps we could complete the ballot language here with a few oral amendments, such as the one I've suggested. So, again, I would like to move that small oral amendment to line 1.9.
Okay. Representative Moe moves the oral amendment. I have a list going of folks who want to speak, and maybe to this and to our testifiers. The list is Senator Cohen, Parisot, Anderson, and then Representative Wagenius. Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, my question was just a quick one. Why natural areas as opposed to parks?
Mr. Curry.
In the title.
Mr. Curry.
Senator Cohen and members of the committee, that is one that polls higher. It's interesting, just about every topic that you've talked about, in one way or another, we try to test how the public feels about those words. And members of the committee should realize everything we're talking about is extremely popular with voters. And so we're dealing at the margins here, but natural areas is just below water quality in terms of what the public feels about it.
Senator Parisot.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is to the witnesses. And are we then to understand that you have drafted the language that's before us? And if so, I want to know who hired you
to do that. I'm sorry, Mr. Curry.
Mr. Chair and Senator Parisot, no, we have looked at the language that's come just as of this morning, and this red pen did a couple of marks to it to make some changes. And they're just suggestions. We hope they're helpful. This is, if the amendment fails by a couple percentage points, we'd be very regretful that we didn't take a real serious look at this. So they're just suggestions, and we hope that they provide value to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, if I might be permitted a comment, it feels to me like they were engaged to do such work at the bidding of people who wanted it to come out a certain way, when in fact that wasn't the people who originally started this idea.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think somebody mentioned, maybe Representative Wagenius, that you put, and you did the same thing that she did, or whoever did, in A36. So you put lakes, rivers, streams, and groundwater at the end, right before the tax, and I'm not sure why. Is that a good thing to put it at the end rather than having it all the good stuff at the beginning? I mean, not the good stuff, the stuff that polls the highest. I mean, just on your list of priorities.
Mr. Curry.
You're just going in your straight polling order.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Senator Anderson, yeah, it's a strategy of bookending. It's very popular to start with drinking water and end with water quality, or end with lakes and rivers. And they are some distinct things that the bill is doing, so you're going to have to break them out and order them somehow. And the sequence of putting those two popular items of the legislation first and last is very beneficial when the voters are thinking about this.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Anderson.
Can I have another question? I just want to ask to Representative Moe, you know, I don't have any strong feelings one way or the other about having game in there. I'm just wondering why, after we've had this bill in front of us for years. We're, you know, it's the last night of session. Why now? Why didn't this ever come up before?
Reps Emo.
Thanks, Senator Anderson. I don't want to throw a wrench in anything. I think like all of us, we want to get this done and also get it passed on the ballot. So that's my only intention. Just knowing the right to hunt and fish amendment that passed so resoundingly had fish and game on it. Many of the people that we're going to want to come out to the polls, hunters, fishermen, that will help us to pass this. That's a important word for them. They can identify with what we're talking about here. We're talking about habitat protection, preservation. I think. And it's not even asked that it be in the title, just in the ballot language.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Pugh first, and then we'll come to you, Senator Pogue-Miller. You're good? Okay. Senator Pogue-Miller.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know how I feel about the word game right now, but I do feel pretty strongly that we should that it would be quicker to start with the A8 and add the word hour about four times. And then I think you've got a cleaner, more precisely designed question, and we can add game or not add game. I don't know that answer, but I do think the A8 is cleaner, and I think you add the word hour before drinking water, you add it before fish and wildlife, you add it before parks. I would strike the word history and add the word hour, and then I'd put the word hour before lakes and rivers. And you got a pretty clean question. It's got your action word and the question of game. Again, I'm undecided. I could go either way on that personally.
Okay. Representative Wagenius.
Well, the person to whom I would like to speak is on the phone.
That's all right. He's got a couple of things going on this evening. So
I think we have to be very careful here. We use it, and I'm going to strongly disagree with Senator Pogue-Miller. Natural areas has no legal meaning. It's one thing to put it in the title, but it has no legal meaning. And so we could discuss that, putting it in the title, if we want to be appealing. But I also think that I find a couple of words extraordinarily appealing that weren't polled. Prairies is one of them. Prairies, wetlands, and forests are our biggest ecosystems, our best ecosystems. And to only talk about two of our ecosystems in a constitutional amendment, I think is wrong, particularly since the forest ecosystem there's a lot remaining. There's a lot less remaining in the wetlands ecosystem, and we have hardly anything left of our prairie ecosystem. But then you're getting back to the language that we had actually. If you do that, I mean, I think the A8 has water quality in it. It is redundant. Then,
Mr. Chairman, start with the A36, but we're going to be here a while.
I don't see that we are going to be here a while.
Okay. Representative Moe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Pogue-Miller,
can I offer that?
Since we do have the A36 in front of us, and that's what we're working on, would you be willing to make some text suggestions to get us closer to the amendment you'd be comfortable with? And there's some changes, or there's some differences here, and I think perhaps that could be we could meet in the middle here.
Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Moll, I would suggest on the A36 amendment deleting arts and parks and inserting cultural heritage and natural areas. If you would be willing to incorporate that into your amendment, that would.
It's actually, I move the amendment.
I guess nobody's acting on that.
Fine with me.
To that point?
To the Denny Frederickson.
Actually,
before you.
Now, Representative Moe has the oral amendment. There's a suggestion from Senator Frederickson. Representative Moe, on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Frederickson, I would gladly accept that as a friendly amendment, though I'd like to have discussion in the committee about that if there's any opposition.
Okay. Can you just restate that for us, Senator
Frederickson? Mr. Chairman, to do it page and line on the A36 amendment, delete line 17, and on the from the A8 amendment, insert the language that's on line 18.
All right. Does staff have the amendment? And Representative Moe, you're going to incorporate that into your oral amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to incorporate that into my original oral amendment to the A36 amendment.
Okay. Discussion to the Moe amendment. Representative Hansen.
I would support the amendment. Senator Parisot and Representative Osment know and Dakota County, we had the farmland and natural area referendum, and I know the power of the words natural area on the ballot, and so I think it's a good addition. It's a compromise between the House and the Senate, and I would encourage adoption.
Representative Wiginius.
I, too, think it's a good compromise, and I have to listen to the instincts of my colleagues from northern Minnesota. I think they're good instincts, and I just as I know they listen to the instincts of those of us in the metro who know that we're going to have to also get a lot of votes in the metro.
Representative Loeffler.
Mr. Chair and members, I think on line 1.10 we need to add after trails the semicolon and just to make it automatically right.
She's right.
All righty.
We'll get the English teacher's vote.
Appreciate that. Does clerk have that? I'm not sorry, the clerk to stand. You guys got it. All right. And Representative Moe incorporates that into his amendment. Senator Chaudhry.
Mr. Chair, is there a reason why we have to denote state, regional, and county parks and trails?
Senator Chaudhry, I think if we vote on the Moe amendment first, that's still a part of it. We can discuss that piece as well. Just to get one motion off the table so we can move on to the next thing, if you don't mind that.
Okay. It just seemed to be turning into an omnibus motion, so I thought I'd ask that question.
Well,
is game in this?
Okay. Game is in this.
Let's vote.
Okay. On the Moe oral amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion prevails.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pogamil.
I would move to delete state, regional, and county.
Okay, Senator Pogemiller moves to delete state, regional, and county. Discussion. Representative Moe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Pogemiller, I appreciate your efforts to simplify the language. The reason we have included state, regional, and county parks. Originally, we had been working up from state parks, and we were reminded that regional parks are much more attended in the metropolitan area, so we wanted to make sure there was some inclusion there. And the metro park-state park split has been something we've, as you know, far longer than I have worked in the legislature. But then there are no regional park districts north of St. Cloud. So, again, for fairness statewide, county park districts are the corresponding park district for our regional parks down here up in northern Minnesota. So again, for fair distribution throughout the state, that's why we have that language.
Members, because we're running short on time and we seem to be moving this language around, I want to take a quick 15-minute recess and come back at 5 o'clock. We're in recess. A few of you and a few of you guys. Back to order, members. Senator Pogemiller has a motion before us. Representative Wiginius.
Yes, I would. I think the motion was to use the language in A8 with regard to arts and cultural history, and add the word hour. I think that's a good amendment, and would urge folks to vote for it.
And it also is deleting state, regional, and county.
Yes. I'm sorry. And deleting those four words.
Deleting these four words. state, regional, and county, and adding this.
Adding the Senate language.
Right there. Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chair, just a couple of other small things. I could add them if you'd like. Incorporate a couple of other small things if you'd like to have an omnibus motion here.
Sure.
I would suggest changing provide funding to dedicate funding. Just change provide to dedicate. We talked about that earlier.
1.7.
Except I think we've moved that to the end now. Wait, on 836?
No,
fine. I'm sorry. That's exactly right. 1.7. And then on 1.8, change sources of drinking water to drinking water sources. So delete sources of and insert sources after water.
All right.
That's good.
That's all incorporated into the Pogue-Miller motion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, as long as we are making some additions and corrections, I would suggest on line 8, after forest, comma, add natural areas, comma, and that would be to make the ballot question parallel to the title of the amendment.
How about we, Senator Frederickson, just vote on this one, and then we'll get right to your motion. We've got a lot of scribbling around. If we can just vote, and then we'll get right back to yours. All in favor of the Pogue-Miller motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion's adopted. Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, I would move on line 8 after forest, comma, insert natural areas, comma.
It did.
Right. Senator Frederickson has an oral amendment, 1.8 after forest natural areas. Staff have the amendment. Discussion. Areas, yes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
No.
Motion prevails. Wait, I'm not sure yet, actually. I had let me take that vote one more time. I'm sorry. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
No.
Motion does not prevail. Okay. Members, discussion to the A36 amendment as amended. Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chair, there's another issue that has been raised to me that's I've had some conversation about before, and that is the issue of whether we should say restoring our groundwater, which is essentially what we have in this long list. We say protect, enhance, and restore our lakes, rivers, streams, and groundwater, and I'm not sure if restoring groundwater is a realistic expectation. And so the suggestion has been made that we could move groundwater up to the top next to drinking water and say protect our drinking water sources and groundwater. I don't know. I don't know if we even need to have groundwater on the ballot question, honestly. Because
you got drinking water.
We've got drinking water.
Sources.
I don't know.
It's a source.
Drinking
it's a
water source sources. That is the major drinking water source. Mr. Chair, I guess I'm just sort of thinking aloud here, but we do need the constitutional language and the ballot question to be congruent, but they don't have to be identical. So, do others have thoughts about that?
I would like to, if we could, adopt the A36 amendment right now, and then when we take our next break, if we want to add any other changes, we can discuss it at that time.
Mr.
Senator Pogue-Miller.
I'm not quite prepared to adopt it.
Okay.
Senator I have an Pogue-Miller. Amendment on line 19. Strike after the word support, strike the, and insert our.
We did that, didn't we?
Strike the comma. Delete our, insert and, so it reads to support our arts and cultural heritage, and delete and history.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I thought we already changed that language.
Senator Anderson,
I do
not believe we changed that language yet.
I thought we took the A8 language for that section, and I thought that was part of your... someone's amendment that we already
I thought we did.
Okay. I'm sorry.
So what does it
read? We should read what we have already.
What does it read now?
Okay. Let's get John, why don't you go ahead and read the whole question?
Mr. Chair, members, shall the Minnesota Constitution be amended to dedicate funding to protect our drinking water sources, to protect, enhance, and restore our wetlands, prairies, forests,
and fish, game, and wildlife habitat to support the arts.
Our.
Well, if we're going, we haven't adopted okay. that. Okay. To support our arts and cultural heritage and history, to support our parks and trails, and to protect, enhance, and restore our lakes, rivers, streams, and groundwater.
Okay.
Beginning July 1st, 2009.
Okay, Senator Pogrom.
What I'd like it to say is to preserve our arts and cultural history.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Anderson.
I apologize. I'm agreeing with what Senator Pogamiller is doing, but I thought that Representative Wagenius's motion was including changing it to preserve our history, arts, and cultural heritage, which was taken out of the A8 amendment, which is similar to what Senator Pogamiller is proposing. So
and
maybe
the,
there was,
the
I don't know if that
I
was.
I did that.
From
the
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wagenius, I think your motion was a little bit different than what Senator Pogamiller wants to offer now. And I think it would be okay if the committee wanted to adopt the exact language that's offering Senator Pogamiller's offering now to replace what was on
whatever is there.
Order. Yep, this is what I
should Senator Pogamiller, Representative Wagenius, if we just,
sure.
That's fine. All right, so is everybody comfortable with the language, understanding what we're voting on?
So what should read is to
preserve our arts and cultural history.
Heritage.
Heritage.
Heritage. Not history.
All right. Representative Bosman.
Thank you. Senator Pogamiller, is there why deleting and history?
Senator Pogamiller.
Because it's a three-legged stool. And I don't think history is one of their legs. I understand that people would like history to be involved, and I think in the language in the statute it will be.
Okay. Representative Wagenius.
Thank you. I'm a little concerned here because I had assumed as we were doing our language in the House, which did not have the word history in it, and we adopted it because it was in the Senate, we had assumed that history was included in cultural heritage, actually, that is the way we had read that language. Would that be your understanding, Senator?
Senator Pogamiller?
Yes. I think history is in cultural heritage.
Very good.
Okay. That solves that.
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the Pogamiller oral amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. Members, any more discussion on the A36 amendment? Representative Wagenius moves adoption of the A36 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. All right. Members, the House has a sheet for us to look at as far as the next piece of the numbers go. Members, if you're looking at this sheet, the House offers all the way to the right for discussion. And if you look, we've come up 5% on the Heritage Fund. We've combined our water funds into one. Parks and Trails and Arts and Heritage Fund are still separate. And we've come up on the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund 5%. And we've dropped the other fund similar to the last Senate offer. And that's where we're at. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Pogamiller.
Just where's the original House position? So I'm just trying to figure out what's different from the original House position.
Fold it that way. It's easier to go. Combine
the heritage.
Top five here.
Down water.
And combined water.
And down
two
five
waters
water
together.
Too.
And came up
yep.
on ours.
Down five in water. Yep. Up five in cultural.
Came down
in
slush.
Natural heritage.
Yeah.
And up five in the arts.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Coyne.
As I understand the House offer, you came up quite a bit on the Heritage Fund. You've combined your water.
And we've dropped our water.
You've dropped it, but you've combined it. You've come up on the arts, cultural, and you've gone down on the other. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct, Senator.
All right.
Senator Saxon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Other allocated amounts.
So we aren't talking about our governance or whatever right now, but I'm still curious to kind of figure out where that 5% is going to be kept versus, again, what I mentioned before, having each fund kind of have their own reserve set up.
Sure. Right now it would be allocated, I guess, on a year-by-year basis or biennium-by-biennium basis by the legislature in any of the above areas. So it would be one flexible and not multiple flexibles. Other discussion? Representative Hansen.
Yes, Mr. Chair. On the combination of clean water and sustainable water, we're combining back to the issue related to groundwater. In certain areas of the state, surface water and groundwater are interchangeable, for example, in southeastern Minnesota. And so protecting drinking water involves protecting surface water and vice versa. So I think the House has moved to put those two together. It shows that water, you know, as a land of 10,000 lakes, we're protecting both surface water and groundwater. There are areas of the state, I believe Minneapolis, that gets its drinking water from the Mississippi. So we recognize that about the importance of protecting both surface water, groundwater, because both can be drinking water sources.
Okay. Any other discussion briefly here? Because I think the Senate is getting ready to vote on some of their major finance bills. Representative Wagenius.
Okay, I wouldn't want it to be thought that Minneapolis was the only city that got its drinking water from surface water. All sorts of cities around the state do, St. Paul, Mankato, St. Cloud, so it's a huge source of drinking water for Minnesotans. I think it's about a quarter, actually.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman, just one other comment, one I made a couple hours ago.
Sure.
It has always been the Senate's position that Natural Heritage Fund would be 1/8.
Okay.
And this fell, you're close, but it's just a little short of 1/8.
Okay. All right. Members, you've seen the latest House offer. We look like we're getting very close to agreement. We're very close on these numbers. It's my hope that when we come back, we can, as a collectively, make some more movement so that we're on the same page as far as numbers go, and we can start looking and then at the language at the same time, so we can plug in these numbers once we come to an agreement in the language. So I know senators have to go vote on some bills. We will. Senator Cohen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, they can come and get us for the votes.
Okay. Well, I think it'd be good to, Senator, to digest these numbers and see what we come back with, and maybe take an hour and then really bang through, get the numbers in agreement, get them plugged into the language, make sure that the language is before us, because I think we'll need a little time to develop that language. So we will come back in 1 hour in this room. Thanks, members. We're in recess.
Okay, let's
thank you for your patience, members, staff, and the public especially. Do we have the language, constitutional language, copy of the constitutional language we can hand out?
And Mr. Chairman, after that's handed out, I have a couple technical corrections.
All right. Thank you, Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. Chair, while we're waiting for this to come around, do we have copies of the final ballot language that we could pass out?
It's on there.
Is it here? Do we have those?
It's all on one page.
Oh, excellent.
Senator.
And Mr. Chairman, I'll just point out from the earlier version, we just moved that word, the location of the date on 2.14. It reads better that way. It's just purely technical.
Okay.
On the submission to the voters.
All right.
Come on, guys. That's plenty of stuff.
Where was this?
Does Margaret have to have the word history in there?
Because that's what we were doing.
They agreed on history. The history is part of this.
That a complete.
What we have on the ballot language?
Say, Denny,
we should just leave it in there.
Well, 5 years from now, when we raid the arts, I'm going to be pissed.
They're not going to.
Yes, they are.
This is the.
Oh.
Okay, so it's three funds.
Three funds and an account in one of the funds. Some question if we want to do that. That's one way to make it three legs stool.
Three funds.
Three funds.
No, this is the way.
This is the way
we talk about.
What's the matter? What with you?
Oh no, the same thing we're talking about. We wanted an
account, not a history fund.
Okay. Right.
That makes me feel better.
Is this supposed to be used?
Get the technical.
Still means the same thing. I think.
I know, but she's thinking it reads better, and it. I think that's technical too.
Three
okay.
Funds.
So which one? Which one?
No, it's got four.
No. One is right. You changed it on page two.
Heritage Fund. Oh, Parks and Trails Fund. Yeah, we still have four funds.
Do you need it?
I think that's a technical amendment.
I have another one.
Okay, let's go.
Wait.
Just wait.
Do we have to go?
All right. Members, I'm sorry. The House is under call. We have to do a quick recess. We'll be right back. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
Members, we're back in order.
We're done.
1.18,
I believe we have the language in front of us again. This is the A-10 amendment. Members, Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. Chairman, I have, I guess, three technical changes.
Senator, first we have to move the A-10 amendment. I'll move the A-10 amendment to be before us. Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. Chairman, page 1, line 12, insert a comma after forests. On page 1, line 15, delete the period, insert a semicolon, and the word and. On page 1, line 18.
Excuse me.
It's automatic.
That was automatic.
On line 18, delete at least. And on page 1, line 26, after 2, insert the word the.
Okay, I will incorporate those into my, or I'll vote on that, actually. We'll vote on that. Senator Fredrickson moves those technical changes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Okay.
Motion prevails. Senator Cohen.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, as I understand it now, we have the language of the A-10 Amendment in front of us, which has both the language for the Constitution and then Section 2, which is the ballot language to present to the voters. And as I understand, Mr. Chairman, members have that.
Yes.
And I think what is left to be added, and let me make the motion, and Mr. Chairman, make sure I have this correctly. On line 110, after the word funds, the number to be inserted is 33. And on line 1.13, after wildlife, the number to be inserted is 33. On line 1.16, after sources, the number to be inserted is 14.250. And on 118, the number to be inserted is 19.750. Mr. Chairman, I'd move that those numbers, assuming I've stated them correctly.
Senator Cohen moves the oral amendment to the A-10 amendment. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, could we just drop the extra zero at the end?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I would incorporate that, Mr. Chairman.
All righty. Discussion to the amendment. Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, I believe this would complete the work we can do tonight. And, Mr. Chairman, I would ask you, and Senator Pogemiller is not here, but I'd ask you as before the final motion on this conference committee report, I would ask you, as the author, what your intent is in terms of the promulgation of the statutory language.
Senator Cohen, I believe with time being as it is, and we've got to get this past both bodies by midnight, we would hold off the statutory language until next year. And Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just inquire, and I asked Mr. Knopf, and the assumption is, Mr. Knopf, just so everybody has is at ease, that the reviser can prepare this particular conference committee report, you were told, within 20 to 30 minutes. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen, that's correct. She's already has the documents, been reviewing it, put together a title, so we should be pretty close.
All right.
So we'll have this in plenty of time, Mr. Chairman. So I just want to, would it be the intent to have conferees work? Obviously, we can't pass the statutory language until next year. Would it be the intent to have conferees work during the interim period on that, or have you and Mr. Pogemiller talked about that?
We haven't. I'd like to potentially ask counsel if they know, would this conference committee still be available to work on the other portion of this, or would this conference committee be closed?
Mr. Chairman, no, because there's a report coming back from this conference committee, so this bill will effectively be dead. I mean, well, it'll be passed or whatever, assuming it's passed.
Okay.
But, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Cohen,
if the leadership so desired,
sure.
We could certainly work as an informal working group during the course of the summer months. And, Mr. Chairman, if you'll just allow me to make not a speech, but Senator Chaudhry, on our side, and I think other Senate conferees have some strong feelings about the council, the establishment of the Heritage Council. I know, Mr. Chairman, there are some, I don't know if there are equally strong feelings, but some concerns on the House side relative to that language. That certainly is an issue to be determined. I think all of us would have preferred to have had all the statutory language determined at the conclusion of the session, but time being as it is. But also, I think all of us have to recognize you know, we run for office from our individual districts. We're talking about a significant statewide ballot effort where the work is going to have to begin tomorrow. And just, Mr. Chairman, I know there are a variety of people in this room who have done an excellent job, have worked hard with all of us over these last, particularly the sportsmen who have worked for the last, I don't know, is it 9 years or 50 years or whatever it's been to accomplish this. And people are going to have to not let up the effort if this is going to succeed in November of 2008. But, Mr. Chairman, understanding that just time as it is, I would move that House File 2285, as amended in conference committee, that the conference committee on House File 2285, as amended, be recommended to pass.
Senator Cohen makes the motion. Members, I want to thank you for your work. I wish we could have got the whole thing done, but I think this not only sends a signal, but puts the amendment on the ballot, which is the most important thing to do this year, to get it on the ballot so folks can start working on it and we can figure out the details over the summer. And we're open to looking at all statute language, as hopefully you're open to looking at our differences in the House provisions as well. And if we can do that over the summer, that'd be great, because if we can get this passed sooner than later next session, I believe that would be helpful in making sure we can gain even more support to getting this not just on the ballot but passed November 08.
And,
Senator Cohen.
And, Mr. Chairman, presumptuous of me to speak for either author, yourself or Senator Pogemiller, but I would hope that the group of us, the legislators, would take the responsibility of sooner as opposed to later.
Absolutely.
And if we could have an informal agreement, even if we can't actually adopt it by formal statute until next year's session, whenever that begins, that if we were able to have an informal agreement, I think that would put a lot of people at ease to make sure that they're comfortable with that statutory language as well.
Thank you. Members and members of the audience, we got the 1/8 that's been asked for many, many years for the outdoor heritage. I think we've done great work on the clean water portion for the parks, for the cultural heritage, and members, let's get this to bed so we can get it on the floor. Senator Cohen, any further discussion, I should say. Senator Chaudhry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I know time is short, and I'll make my comments brief. I do want to thank you and Senator Pogemiller and the rest of the conferees for doing yeoman's work on some very difficult topics. Amending the Constitution is not something that we take lightly, and it takes a considerable amount of effort just to get the language of our a constitutional provision correctly. And I think we worked very hard and did so successfully. Not only that, but I think we established a question to the voters that I think they can understand. I advocated for simplicity. Others advocated for more detail. I think we perhaps ended up somewhere in the middle. I think that we I think this is something voters can easily read and understand, and the intent of the our Constitution will be clear, and that is particularly for the Outdoor Heritage Fund, that the money will be spent on enhancing our wetlands, our prairies, our forests, and habitat for fish, game, and wildlife. And I think when the question is asked, what will the money be used for, I think that is an important, that is the answer we can give. Probably know that I worked very hard on the governance of this fund, and it did not pass this time around. I think it's very important that citizens, particularly sportsmen, have a strong say in how this money is distributed. I thought we had a good and balanced plan, but like you said, we will continue to work on this in the interim, and I hope to be a part of it.
Absolutely.
And again, thank you for your hard work and for the House in expediting the this constitutional amendment. We still have to get it off our mutual floors.
So any further discussion, Senator Chaudhry or anyone else? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion prevails unanimously. Thank you. We're adjourned.